Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
We are so glad you are here on Living Life Powerfully. We cannot live life powerfully, though, if our health, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, sexual, and spiritual, if this is not balanced and intact. Think about it. We live in a world with hectic lifestyles. Sometimes they're even chaotic. Or we have the other extreme of a completely sedentary life with a desk job. We have pollution. We have distractions. You know, and total health and well-being seem pretty far away sometimes. But what we want to focus on today is just paying attention to just a few fundamentals that can ensure that you achieve optimum health. We often think of health as absence of disease. But I want you to ask yourself, when you think of your physical health, what do you think of? You know, maybe some of us think about a diet. You know, some of us think about, you know, spending hours in the gym. And that's one of the misconceptions that we want to clear up today. We want, you know, when health comes to mind, we need to think of something a lot more balanced, something more harmonious. So today is part one of our five-part series on health. And of course, today we're just going to focus on the physical aspect of our total well-being.
Right.
So, yes.
I'd like to answer the question that you posed about what is physical health, or, you know, the best of it being for me. And because I think most of us are engaged in a conversation around physical health. Some of us may focus on working out. Others may focus on losing weight. There are people who smoke who want to stop smoking. So physical health encompasses an extremely broad range. And for me, it's always a desire of improving, like what is it in being integrity with my body, treating my body with love and kindness. And that's what the best is, represents. And quite often it includes eating particular, you know, eating really well, like eating to live and not living to eat. And I think many of us live to eat. It's like, ooh, something tastes really good, even though that item might not be the best for us. So it's eating to live and only putting things in my body that I know is going to nurture it. Great physical health also represents exercising pretty consistently and always seeking to improve, you know, my game as I'm engaging in the world. So cardiovascularly, having a strong heart, ensuring that my cholesterol level is low, you know, those types of things. How about you? What does the best physical health mean for you?
To me, physical health, so what I want to really focus on, the physical health for me, it is the activity. Okay, first of all, our bodies are made for movement. So if I don't move, and it doesn't mean that, you know, like I said, like I have to go to the gym and spend hours in the gym. I'm just talking about just basic, like just movement. So if I've been sitting at the desk, just get up, just run up and down the stairs a couple of times. But just keep moving, like don't just keep sitting for hours on end. So, you know, physical inactivity is the fourth leading risk factor for global mortality. Globally, 6% of deaths per letter are attributed to physical inactivity. And this is according to the World Health Organization. And this is followed by high blood pressure, tobacco use, and is equal to high blood glucose levels in people. So physical inactivity is the main cause for approximately 21 to 25% of breast and colon cancers. So you can see how important it is to move your body. And regular physical activity helps to maintain a healthy body. So that's
Let me say this. I hadn't realized how important this was until I reached my mid-40s. So I've been working out pretty consistently. When I say that, I mean between 3 to 5 days a week for the last 20 years. And my cholesterol started going up just naturally because, according to my cardiologist, 20% of people will have high cholesterol related to DNA, right? They're just their genetic makeup. 80%, it's related to their diet and how they eat. And quite often the relationship between your diet and your physical activity is quite significant. So I have a predisposition for having high cholesterol, but because I've been working out, my doctor said, well, don't worry about it. We're not going to have to put you on Lipitor because your physical activity is helping to counterbalance this, you know, natural predisposition that you have. And that was quite profound for me. I really, for the first time, had an acknowledgement of the benefit of the physical activity in preventing my having to be on medication. So, and I mentioned that,
and you bring
that
up
physical
a good
activity
point.
Is a great prevention.
Right, right. And you know what? And but see, this is my fear. You know, like, this is why I don't want to just focus on physical activity, because some of you listeners out there may be going, yeah, I mean, there's nothing we're saying today that you don't already know. Everybody knows that, you know, you're supposed to get exercise. I mean, you know, we're not living back in the, you know, days of, you know, where everybody lived in their little caves. We all know it's everywhere. But it's whatever has you not make it a part of your daily life is what we want you to overcome today. We want you to look at this differently. That's why we're not just going to focus on physical activity. Physical activity is just one part of it. And I want you to think of physical activity as just any bodily movement produced by the skeletal muscles that use energy. That's it. So I don't want you to, you know, again, we don't want to go to the extreme. You know, you can, it's not just sports. It could just be you doing household chores, or you love gardening, or you just love to dance. Just get up and dance. So both moderate and vigorous intensity physical activity can bring amazing results. So intensity refers to the rate at which the activity is being performed. You know, it can be thought of like how hard a person works to do the activity. So think about this. Like, can you, if you're gardening, can you just go all in and just work really, really hard? You know, don't take the shortcuts. And if, you know, okay, so here's some guidelines that the World Health Organization came up with. So people ages 5 to 17 years old should accumulate at least 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity daily. Now, 18 to 64-year-olds, adults, should do at least 150 minutes of moderately intense physical activity throughout the week, or at least 75 minutes of vigorous activity throughout the week. Now, that's not a whole lot, is it, Perletta? I mean,
no,
150
not at all.
Minutes or 75 minutes for the whole week?
And I want to capitalize on something that you said, Raj, and that is, you know, the types of activity, because what I found is I do things that I enjoy, and it doesn't feel like I'm doing a chore. So one of the challenges I think that people have, particularly if they've been inactive, is getting the motivation to become active. And sometimes if they overexert themselves in the beginning, it can be painful, right, because you're out of shape. And so starting at the beginning, whatever that means, like walking, we all, I should say, most of us who aren't disabled can walk. So starting walking at a slow pace and then increasing that, over time. It's not like you have to jump right in, because that's how people get injured. But it is a wonderful way to ease into some sort of activity until you can build up your endurance and your capacity. So doing things, you know, that you might love to do at a later point, so starting from walking and then perhaps at some point walking faster, could turn into hiking, or could turn into biking, could turn into jogging. And so it's very important, as you mentioned, to be consistent and to get the 150 minutes in, but doing it in a way that's least harmful to yourself until you can build up your endurance is very important.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, in order for it to be beneficial for the cardiorespiratory health, the activity should be performed in bouts of at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So if, you know, so you don't want to overdo it. So just make sure that whatever you're doing, you do it in bouts of 10 minutes. And that's basically it. And for older adults, if you can't do this recommended amount of physical activity due to your health conditions, you should be as physically active as your abilities and conditions allow. What you want to think about is just movement of some sort. And doing some physical activity is better than doing nothing.
Oh, I love that you said that.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because I've certainly seen it. I have a couple of older clients who, after a period of being sedentary, they started to atrophy, right? So, and it becomes even more difficult because maintaining physical activity allows for the body to continuously, remain in shape. And when we stop and we sit for long periods of time, and we live a sedentary lifestyle, our body adjusts to that. So it affects our bones, our ability to move and feel vibrant and feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important, as you said, to do something, which is absolutely better than nothing, for sure.
You know, I keep thinking of Dr. Ilchi Lee, and he is the founder of Dhan Yoga, which is a Korean form of yoga. And he was injured very badly in a car accident, and he basically healed himself. And he was bedridden for months. And what he would do is, while he was laying in his bed, Perlotta, he would just make these, like, small movements. He'd just, like, keep, you know, kind of, like, shaking, just so that his body was not stagnant. And that's what I'm talking about. So wherever you are, even if you're bedridden, it doesn't matter. You can still move. Just move your body, whatever you can move. Now, the next thing I want to get to as part of this physical health is rest, okay? We don't often think of our physical health as it relates to rest. But I believe that this is one of the most important things we can do. And when we think of rest, okay, we may ask, well, you know, how much sleep do I really need? You know, some of us are so sleep deprived and we don't even know it. Research really cannot pinpoint an exact amount of sleep. I know we always hear 8 hours of sleep, you know, but it's dependent on a lot of factors, and your sleep needs change based on, you know, your age. I know my dad was just here. He's 85, and he says he cannot sleep very good. You know, he just doesn't need as much sleep. Nevertheless, it's important to pay attention to your own individual needs by assessing how you feel different on different amounts of sleep. So ask you, are you productive, healthy, and happy on 7 hours of sleep? Or does it take you 9 hours of quality, you know, Z's to get you into high gear? Do you have health issues such as being overweight? Are you at risk for any disease? You know, are you experiencing sleep problems? Do you depend on caffeine to get you through the day? Do you feel sleepy when you drive? You know, I know when I'm sleep deprived. Mm-hmm.
And that is the relationship that we have with our bodies around rest has touched me personally. There was a time in my life not that long ago that I suffered from thinking I was a superwoman, And the way that I would get extra things done was I would stay up, you know, longer at night. And sometimes I would get 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And I did this for years. And at some point, it caught up with me. And I started experiencing fatigue and having difficulty at the end of my day, not all day, but at the end of my day, just walking upstairs at the end of the day. And I saw my doctor, and I love naturopaths. You know that, Raj. But I went to a naturopath to see if I could do something, you know, holistically to address what was happening. And she talked about how most Americans are focused on getting so much done that we don't get enough rest. Like there are studies on many people are sleep deprived, actually. And she wrote on a prescription pad for me 7 to 8 hours of sleep. She's like, that's your goal. You need to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And I hadn't really become aware because I was so focused on the goal of whatever it is I was wanting to get finished. I didn't realize that I needed sleep. I thought because I could function with less sleep, I didn't need it. And it wasn't until my body said, no, this is not good, which is not a great thing, right? Until I had to suffer some consequence from exhaustion, I thought I was fine. And so when she wrote that 7 to 8 hours on the prescription pad and gave it to me, it helped me to become aware of my own relationship with rest and how I actually needed it. I couldn't be superwoman, quote unquote, and in denial that I needed sleep. And that's probably been about 7 years ago. And I focus even still on making sure that I get adequate sleep. And sometimes, you know, I make it and sometimes I don't. But I think this doesn't just impact me. I think culturally, many of us think that, you know, if we can get more done and not sleep, it's just a great thing. And we think we don't need it when we really do.
You're so right, Perletta. And you know what? Nowadays, it is so easy because we're on our devices, you know, at night. I mean, we get stimulated, you know, by just being on the internet or whatever, you know. I try not to bring any device into my room, you know, that time of night when I'm ready to go to sleep. So there are just a few guidelines that you perhaps can follow to help you, and that's, you know, make sure you stick to a sleep schedule, even on the weekends. And we think that we can make up for sleep, lost sleep, by just sleeping in on the weekends. That just simply is not true. You cannot make up for sleep. Once you've lost it, you've lost it. You know, you've got to practice a relaxing bedtime ritual. And part of what will help you sleep is, again, that physical activity daily. And also look around, look at your bedroom to ensure that there's ideal temperature, sound, and light. And this is one of the things that, you know, we have digital clocks, we have just light, you know, we have maybe our phone plugged in and that gives off a little light, and, you know, for charging, you know, we've got devices charging and that's giving off light. And it's so important to not have any light in the room. So close all your blinds, turn off all your devices, plug them in another room. And I think sometimes we fail to see that. And make sure that your mattress and pillows are comfortable. And, you know, alcohol and caffeine are sleep stealers. So sometimes alcohol can make you fall asleep, but it doesn't help you stay asleep. And again, turn off everything, all electronics, before you go to bed. And, you know, the most important thing is to make sleep a priority. Like Perletta was talking about, it was just not a priority, right? You just had too many things to do. So you've got to schedule sleep on your daily calendar. So put it on your to-do list and cross it off every night. But don't make it the thing you do only after everything else is done. Stop doing other things so you can get the sleep you need. I teach yoga as well, and I love yoga. I practice it. I've been practicing for years. And part of what makes yoga yoga is that rest is where your body actually restores itself. So you'll do an asana, a posture, and then you do shavasana, which means that you just lay still. It's like the corpse pose where you just lay still. So even like, you know, too much physical activity without rest will not work. You need to rest your mind, your body, and that's why I've got first physical activity, then rest, and now we're going to talk about, what do you guessed it, right, Perletta? Diet.
Diet! I hate that word. I hate it.
I know. And I don't like that word either. So it's, you know, I actually should just be nourishment. How do we nourish our bodies, right?
Yes, yes.
And I think you talked about that in the beginning, just being aware of how we're, you know, the relationship we have with our bodies. I get clients with, you know, eating disorders and, you know, the anorexia or the bulimia, and it is not an easy thing to deal with, okay? So what we want to think about, okay, we've got some basic guidelines, okay? First is adequacy. You should be eating enough wholesome food to obtain all of the essential nutrients, fiber, and energy that your body requires to maintain health, right? Foods that have low nutrient density, such as potato chips, and highly processed foods, makes this very difficult since they crowd out the more beneficial food items such as fresh fruits and vegetables. So the first thing is adequacy. Are you getting adequate nutrients into your body? Okay, the second thing is balance. Your meal should be balanced, and the best way to do this is by including, you know, the complex carbs, the lean protein, fruits and vegetables with every meal. And a good rule to go by is covering half your plate with vegetables, 1/4 of your plate with lean protein, and 1/4 of your plate with complex carbs, such as, you know, whole grains, brown rice, quinoa. And if you have a sweet tooth, try having just a small portion of mixed berries or sliced fruit with maybe some cinnamon. You know, sprinkle it with some cinnamon for your dessert. So we've got adequacy, we've got balance, and then, this is something I don't like because I can go overboard sometimes, is calorie control. So the average person burns roughly 2,000 calories per day. And basically, if you eat more calories than you burn, you're going to gain weight. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you want to lose weight, you're going to need to consume fewer calories than you burn. So a deficit of 3,500 calories equates to 1 pound. Oh, this is painful when you're on that treadmill, right? The number of calories you burn in a day will vary slightly depending on your gender, your height, your weight, and your activity level.
I have a lot to say about this.
I want to hear what you have to say about this.
Stop me. Well, so what you're speaking of here, Raj, is from my perspective and a summary of it, each of the 3 points you made about, you know, about physical activity, rest, and about diet is really about developing a deeper, I'll call it more intimate relationship with your body. And certainly nutrition and what you take in and how you take it in is I think one of the most intimate ways of being with your body, like, because you're putting something in. And we don't oftentimes think of it, you know, like as a child, I was taught to eat all my food, even when I was complete, when I was finished. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those habits, horrible, horrible habits that I ensure that I did not pass on to my children. I wanted them to be aware that when they were done, they were done. They didn't have to eat the rest of their food. And someone that I know is a nutritionist likened it to our being garbage cans. She's like, whenever you eat past the place of your being complete, you're acting like a trash can. Stop treating your body like a trash can. And when she said that, I was like,
I had never really thought of it like that. But instead of throwing it away, I was throwing it away in my body and processing it. So this idea of that you're speaking of adequacy, balance, and calorie control is certainly a more intellectual way of being with the body. But I want to focus for just a second on calorie control because not everybody actually can eat 2,000 calories a day and maintain their weight. I am 5'4". I weigh about 140 pounds. And I gain weight on a 2,000-calorie day diet. I had my BMI and my body mass index, and I can only consume 1,390 calories to maintain my weight.
Mm.
And when I learned that, because I was gaining weight, I was eating maybe 1,800 calories, and I was slowly starting to gain weight as I got older. And I should say something about that in a second if we have time. And so it's really actually very individualistic as to how much that a person can maintain. As we age, our metabolism, according to my cardiologist, naturally slows down. And so if you're older, more than likely your metabolism has slowed down or has begun the process of slowing down, and you cannot consume the same amount of food that you could consume when you're younger. So when people start to get the bulge and women, their hips start spreading as they age, it's not necessarily because they're eating more. It may be because their metabolism has slowed down and they haven't made the adjustments in their intake and in their output to accommodate that. And so it's so important to develop this intimacy with your own body to know how much you can consume and what's right for you throughout your life, but certainly as you get older. So, Raj, if you're having some difficulty, I heard you say that about with sweets, I wonder what you could be supplementing in your diet to address that, because maybe there's another deficiency somewhere else. When we have cravings, you know, they say it's because there's a deficiency and you're wanting to, you're craving something to address that.
Right, and that's true. We do have to address those cravings. Okay, so the fourth thing is moderation. Okay, we've all heard this before, right? Enjoy your food, but don't overindulge to excess, like Perletta, what you were talking about. A diet that does not allow for an occasional treat is doomed for failure. If you eat healthy all week, then you should be able to enjoy something yummy on the weekend, you know, in moderation. You know, however, rather than wolf down a whole big piece of chocolate cake, you know, just share it with some friends. Just have a little bit, but do, you know, reward yourself. And then the fifth thing I think is so important. I've always heard my dad always have said this is variety. Just eat a variety of foods from all the major food groups. And this is not only keeping your meals from becoming boring, but you're also ensuring that you are getting all of the nutrients that you need. Did you know that tomatoes are red because they contain lycopene and blueberries are blue due to flavonoids? Strawberries are red because they contain something else, and carrots are orange because they contain something else, you know, which is important for us. So all of these different compounds are referred to as phytochemicals, okay, which provide different nutritional benefits to the body. So the more colors on your plate, the better. What I really want to emphasize here is I know we've, you know, just given you a very brief glimpse into what physical health entails. I mean, what would be really awesome is if you could know yourself and your body, learn how your body functions, and make it your goal to have it function efficiently and optimally. You need a healthy body in order to create health in your mental, emotional, sexual, and spiritual health. Remember, we are all headed towards a powerful life, and we want to give ourselves the best chance possible. So just get curious, know yourself, know what makes you work better, know what makes you feel better, and do that, whether it's, you know, physical activity, rest, or your, you know, diet, or let's say nourishment. So make sure to tune in next week As we continue part two of the health series, we will discuss the different aspects of mental health next week. Just as important as physical health. Yes. I want to thank you for joining us today on Living Life Powerfully. You may reach us at Pearl Raj Radio, P-E-A-R-L-R-A-J, radio at gmail.com. And make sure to like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully, for the latest updates. Stay true to yourself and stay empowered.
Have a fantastic and amazing week.